Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coach, how's practice going? 1 week in. How would you say it's going right now?
Again, I think the guys are competing. We've gotten through a lot of situational stuff, you know, as we prepare for our opening preseason game. You know, you get a chance to watch our quarterbacks work. We see our offensive line is starting to come together. I really like our secondary, what we're starting to do back there, our linebackers. So you start to really evaluate the team for what it is. We got a ways to go, but I like our fight. I like that we're working hard every day, and we're giving everything we have.
We've asked a lot of players about, all the players that sat down with us about, you know, the fact that this year you're not calling the plays on offense. You're, you know, more traditional head coach, as we see it in the league, right?
Right.
You know, and all the players have noticed. And in fact, Jabril Peppers said, he goes, I feel like coach is being nicer to us this year. Last year he was always rooting for the offense. Now it seems more even.
Well, no doubt. I mean, obviously I'm the head coach of the team. So it's offense, defense, and special teams. And I get excited when they do something great. I get excited when the offense does something great and when special teams too. So I try to have my hand in it all. Obviously, I'm always going to have a little more love for the offense. But at the same time, my role has changed. And I'm excited about it.
When you look at the roster and the talent just on the team compared to last year, a year later, how much different does it feel?
Well, it feels different, and I don't want to compare last year to this year, but you said it. I mean, there's new players. I mean, this is not the same team.
It's a whole new team.
Absolutely. It's not the same team as it was a year ago, and I give that credit to John Dorsey and the personnel group. They did a great job of adding talent, you know, all across our football team, and the number one room is in the quarterback room, you know, and it permeates throughout the rest of our football team.
You were just asked about Joel Bitonio. Obviously, yesterday you made the announcement that he was going to play left tackle, at least for the foreseeable future. You did say when you talked about it that, you know, John and his group are still going to work on things. Is it possible that you guys, I mean, it's unlikely this time of year, but sometimes you see trades at this time of year once in a while. Sam Bradford was traded a couple of years ago. Is it possible you guys would trade for a left tackle, or is it more likely a fix from within, whether it stays Bitonio or somebody else?
Well, knowing John, he's going to do everything he can with his group to find better players.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can find someone who we feel is a fit for us, I'm sure he'll do whatever he thinks he needs to do to make that happen. But at the same time, as you said, we still have some guys in the locker room that will continue to develop and give them a chance. And if they can catch up or compete at that level that we want, then we have a better scenario here in our building.
You know, we're a week into camp, and you make the switch. It's a big switch, moving a guy who's darn near an all-pro at left guard to left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We were chatting about this. It couldn't have been plan A to do this week into camp, could it have, Coach? I mean, what was the plan with Austin Corbett?
Well, the plan with Austin, I've said it from the beginning, was his versatility.
Sure.
That he could play tackle and guard.
Yeah.
And he was playing tackle and guard. Mm-hmm. And as you continue to evaluate it, you want to make sure you put him in the best position to have success. And then you look at who's out there. You know, we were missing Harrison. We still haven't had him practice. Mm-hmm. You just said it. Robinson hadn't practiced much. You know, Sean Coleman had been there. There was a playing level that I wanted to see that I wasn't seeing. And so my goal has always been to put the best five guys out there.
Everybody keeps mentioning Harrison. I mean, does this guy got a shot?
Oh, he does.
I mean, he's on pup list now.
No, he's athletic and can play.
Okay.
So we're going to be excited when he gets back. But my job is to put the best players out there. You know, it doesn't matter where it is and put the pieces where we think they fit. And when you look at it, you know, I think Austin can go on and play guard on the left side. And I think Joel has enough athletic ability and talent and know-how to go outside and play tackle. And I thought it would only be fair to give him a chance to practice at it at a high level for several weeks before he ever has to do that. Now, can we change? Yeah, if something happened, you know, on our football team. But right now, that's the best five guys. So that's how we're going to roll.
We're talking with Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Coach, when you, from a general sense, without specific names, would you rather have, if your choice was, have a player that's, you know, above average at left tackle and above average at left guard, or a great player at left guard and maybe a subpar player at left tackle? What's the better thing, to have two guys who are solid or one who's excellent and one who's not very good?
Two guys that are solid. Because that gives you the best chance to have success. And I know exactly what you're getting at. You said, the names don't matter.
Yeah. Right.
I just think what's important, if you put your best five players out there and put them in position so they can compete together, let them build that chemistry, you'll have a chance to have a pretty good offensive line.
You talked about Joel competing with Myles Garrett. The only question about Myles has ever been, would he stay healthy? He was injured last year in college. He was banged up last year. Obviously, when he was healthy, he was phenomenal. He flashed brilliance. He looks like he was built out of a rock. I mean, that's how he's built. If this guy is healthy, is it too crazy to say he can be an all-time great player? Is that too soon?
I think it's too soon, but I think what I'm expecting from Myles is that he takes a leap, you know, not a jump, a leap, because I think he has that kind of talent. So he needs to go play up to the talent level that he was drafted at, and I think he will. He's had a great training camp. You know, obviously, I think he wants to start going against somebody else other than our guys. I think going against Joel is really good for him because that's different and new. So I'm excited about watching him play.
We were talking about this last night doing a TV show with Nathan and I, and we were trying to find, like, how are you going to get all these linebackers on the field? Because you've got so much depth. And last year you had Schobert and Kirksey. They played every single snap. And that wears on you in a 16-game season, 20 with the preseason and all that. You pretty got to be happy, Coach, with
the
depth.
Very. I think this is truly about depth and competition. You know, I think, you know, the better the competition, the better the players play.
Sure.
You know, and the cream rises to the top. You know, and you said it. We got some good guys, you know, at those positions. You know, last year was last year. It's this year. You know, how the guys are going to play and compete this year. And it's a great competition that's going on in there. As you guys know, Greg has a lot of different packages to play guys. But at the same time, it's no different in that situation. You got to play the guys that are playing the best. Put them out there, I should say, and let them play.
Michael Kendricks is going to push for a lot of playing time here.
No, absolutely.
He's a thumper.
He's a good player. I mean, he's a good player, and that's why he's here.
Coach, on the offensive side, you didn't have any proven entities at wide receiver. Obviously, Josh Gordon's been in and out of the roster. You have one now in Jarvis Landry, who's about as reliable as a wide receiver as it comes. He's averaged 100 catches, 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns. And as I've been talking about, it's not like he's a guy who had 50 catches for you know, 800 yards, and then the next year, it's pretty steady. In fact, he has a chance to break the record for most receiving yards first 5 years of his career. Everybody has talked to us about his professionalism. He's just a football player, a man's man. What do you have to say about Jarvis Landry?
Well, you said it. He's a pro.
Yeah.
You know, he's proven himself year in and year out that he's going to be very consistent. He's going to bring that to the organization, which he has. He's going to come to work every day. He's not looking for a way out. You know, he's looking to compete. I think the quarterbacks trust him, and they know where he's going to be. And that's the pro side of him, because that is so important to a quarterback. And he's also one of the leaders, you know, in our locker room. And I think that makes a huge difference. He has a voice, and he has a voice because of the way he plays and the way he prepares.
You know, I love Antonio Callaway. He looks like a star in the making out here. You know, obviously the off-the-field concerns with all that coming in the draft and everything. How's he been, you know, without what we've seen? We see a guy who can ball, but you guys happy with him as a person?
Oh, absolutely. No, he's, you know, again, you know, we kind of lay it out. You know, John and myself, we kind of tell guys what we expect, and that's how we go about it, and that's the way it's been since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I think he's really responded to that. I think most young guys want to know exactly what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, and they'll do it. And then, as you said, you see the talent.
Oh, yeah.
The guy can play, and he's got to keep growing. But he's a young player. He's trying to find his way in the National Football League, but he has a chance.
Coach, speaking of young players, we had Nick Chubb on with us the other day, and I remember you saying at the Monday press conference that you hoped that the players would be tired enough from how hard they worked that they would rest on their day off. Well, we asked Nick Chubb, what are you doing on your day off? And he said, man, I'm tired. I'm going to rest. So I thought that was well done.
Thank you.
He seemed like excited. He's looked great. He also told us basically that he's like, wow, this is not college
is
football
different.
Anymore.
Yeah.
What do you think of him so far? What you've seen?
I really like him. You know, he's a very serious football player. He doesn't say much. No. He just goes to work. Wants the ball in his hands. A tremendous runner. I think he's going to improve as a pass receptor. It's something he's got to work at. But I'm glad we have him, because in the third and fourth quarter, when you got to tackle that big guy, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Coach, when you draft a player in the top five, I'm talking about Denzel Ward here, you want to see those guys come out and look like legitimate, like Pro Bowl players right away. Mm-hmm. And everybody – well, you can see it. We can see it out here. But even when we talk to the guys like Peppers and some of the veterans, are like, from day one, this guy was just locking dudes down.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be happy about that, because – I mean, you don't want that guy to look like he's got a ways to go. You want him to come in right away, and you're like, man, we got to pick right.
Absolutely. I mean, again, John and his group, they took a guy who has it. You know, he has the cover skills that you want. He has the loose hips. You know, the guy has catch-up speed. He's longer than you think he is, and I think he loves football. You know, so you take that combination, put it on a team in an area where we felt like we needed some help, and you see the talent.
Is he going to bulk up a little bit?
Yes, he does. I mean, I think he gets that. I mean, but for a guy who's not as big as some others, he's wiredly strong. You know, he's a pretty strong guy, and he works at it, and he's going to have to learn some different techniques at tackling. And let's just be honest. He's not the biggest of the guys, but at the same time, he's going to have to tackle some people.
Is it time to talk quarterbacks?
Yeah, we can't let you get out of here, Coach, without talking quarterback. I know you've been asked a million times.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. I get it. But I think you understand that, you know, and I'm not saying this is the intent or that this is your plan, because I know what your plan is, and I get it. But, you know, a lot of times coaches have said, after guys were drafted in the first round, we're going to start the veteran, we're going to start the veteran. And then the veteran – and not that any of the coaches are lying when they say it, but things change as camp goes along. When you look at Baker Mayfield, you know – like, how do you balance, okay, we drafted him first overall. Obviously, we think he's extremely talented or we wouldn't have drafted him first overall. Mm-hmm. How do you balance when to, like, yeah, Tyrod Taylor's the pro. He probably initially gives you a better chance to win. There's probably no doubt about that. But how do you balance, in long term, Baker's got to be good. How do you balance that, the better chance to win right now versus maybe the better for the long term of the team?
Well, there's no question the better for the long term of the team later on. You just said it. It's going to be Baker. That's why we drafted him.
Right.
And we brought Tyrod Taylor here for a reason, too, to become our starting quarterback in 2018 and start to lead this team to victories. And that's what I expect he's going to do. Baker's time is going to come.
Right.
You know, I think we all see the talent on the field. We also see the talent in Tyrod. We see the talent in Drew Stanton. It is a great problem to have. It's a problem that I don't think this organization's had in a while, which is a good thing. You have a veteran player that's played for 7 years, who's led a team to the playoffs, who understands the league, knows how to play, doesn't turn the ball over, is a tremendous leader, worker, and understands where this organization is. And you have a very young, talented player who you drafted first overall, who's got to learn about the National Football League. You know, there's no question about his talent, his work ethic, but he'll tell you there's still some things he's got to learn how to do to play this game. I don't know that we're in that learn mode right now as we start the season.
Right.
There's a lot of football that's going to be played until we get there, and he'll continue to grow. We'll see where he is, but the intent and what we're going to do, I should say, is we're going to play Tyrod Taylor.
You know, when you said, I don't want to misquote you, but you said he's exceeded some expectations. Is that fair with Baker? What were your expectations for where he'd be right
now? Well, I think when you're coming into a new system, you know, and again, a new system, new environment, new players, I wasn't expecting that he would come and be pinpoint accurate as he's been. I didn't expect that he would be able to pick up the offense as fast as he has. You know, his IQ is off the chart. He works at it. The ball is placed in the right spots. He's just learning the other nuances of playing in the National Football League, seeing defenses, blitzes, all kind of things that are happening before him, understanding situational football in the National Football League. There's a couple of plays a day he's got to throw the ball away, can't take sacks, you know, in certain areas. And he's going to grow that way. So I get excited because there's other things he's done that I've had young guys before not do. And that's a good thing. But at the same time, that doesn't mean he's ready. You know, that means let's keep working this guy. My goal for him is to put him in a situation when he does play, he doesn't go in there and just play. He goes in there and plays well and win.
Is there a hesitancy at all because of what happened last year? It's not about that at all?
No, because, it's not about – every situation is different, you know. And I hate to say this. When I go back when I was in Baltimore, I played Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco was on a team that had Ray Lewis and Elodinata and Ed Reed and Suggs and a whole bunch of other guys.
Sure.
So there were certain things he didn't need to do. Well, we're not there yet. You know, we're building this thing the right way. And so, to me, I think what's important is let's not rush him. Let's give him a chance to get his feet in the ground and understand what it's like to be a National Football League quarterback, everything from every situation and area, and then let's make decisions about Baker Mayfield. We have Tyrod Taylor, and he's going to get it done for us.
Coach, this is our eighth training camp with the Browns, and I feel like, in my opinion, every other year, and obviously this is only your third, but in my opinion, every other year, the battle for quarterback was, it felt like, who was the least worse? You know, who was it? Nobody's been good. Who are we going to start?
Well, the lesser of all the evils.
It feels like, to me, this year, it's the total opposite. I said your third quarterback, in my opinion, again, I'm not a football coach, you are. In my opinion, your third quarterback is the most talented quarterback the Browns have had in maybe a decade, and he's your third quarterback. So it seems like this is a competition about who's the best versus who's the least worst.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you saying that because hopefully we got it right. You know, we won't know until we start playing games, you know, until those guys compete under the duress of playing against an opponent. But I feel really good about where we are. It's the best I felt, you know, at the position because we have a guy who has won games. We have a young player who I think is going to be very talented. We have another player who's a veteran who's played in the National Football League and won games too. So that gives you hope.
Any contact at all with Josh Gordon?
Again, Josh is doing what he needs to do to put himself in the best position so when he comes back, he can be here and play great football.
Has he reached out at all?
That's between me and Josh.
Okay, all right.
Coach, you know, obviously, and we've been honest about this when we've had you on before, we've been critical. We've been very
Absolutely.
Critical, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Just like we honestly were with Chud and every other coach and front office that's
you
been
here. You
weren't
the only one, Coach.
Yeah.
That's okay. I take my ripping.
We've been extremely critical.
Licking.
We've been extremely critical.
You've been cleansed, Coach.
That's all right.
Now, in fairness also to us, when you got hired, I said it was the best hire the Browns had made in years. That's a fact as well.
I'm going to prove that right.
Okay. Now, I think this year you have a better chance because certainly the talent is better around you. Do you when you hear criticism, which is part of the business, do you want to stick it to the guys who criticize? I mean, is there a part of that?
Who doesn't?
I know, I do. When people rip me, I want to stick it to them.
Well, the only way I can stick it to you is, like I said earlier, we got to win.
Yeah.
That's what takes care of that. I get it. I like to have fun with you guys, too.
Yeah.
You guys are just doing your job. I respect that. But at the same time, you know, we're human, just like you guys
are. I get
Coach,
it.
You wouldn't,
and I get
you're
you
right. You
absolutely.
There's no coaches in the NFL that are bad coaches.
No doubt. And those coaches have families and people just like you guys do. That's
right.
The only difference. And
yes.
At the end of the day, the Cleveland Browns are trying to win. It's not like we're trying to lose. We just got to do the right things that put us in position to win.
Hey, I hear you. We get people beating us up and telling us we're awful people
Absolutely.
On Twitter, and it feels bad. And there are certainly times you go home and you're critical of somebody, and you're in your house and you're thinking, did you go too far? Did you say too much? You know,
all good.
It all comes from basically a good place as a human being.
It can't come from a good place, though.
we all just want to win, Coach.
No doubt. But I do respect you guys. I know you have a job to do. I get it.
We're rooting for you.
Thank you. And I'm always rooting for you guys, too. But the only way I can help you guys be better at what you do for our fans and everybody is to give you wins.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate your time.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.